Boo's Hell by Little Johnny Cartilage by Johnny Mears. Episode 1, Malcolm MacDonald's Sideburns.
Yeah, and another thing. You noticed how whenever you see old film of some old 60s or 70s pop festival, Woodstock or the Isle of Wight or somewhere, there's a general crowd shot. There's always a close-up of one bare-breasted woman with a long, straight Mary Hopkin haircut, sitting on some bloke's shoulders, swaying about and waving her arms in the air. Have you noticed how it's always the same woman? Why my mother chose that particular method of humiliating me, I'll never know. Why couldn't she just complain loudly in shops like mothers are supposed to? Sorry, what was the question again?
I just asked you what your name was.
Oh, sorry, it's Cartilage. Little Johnny Cartilage of the early 70s, all singing, all dancing, chart and TV sensations, the Cartilage family.
And would you like any side salad or garlic bread with your pizza?
Oh, yeah, a portion of garlic bread, please.
OK, that'll be about 15 minutes.
15 minutes, that's lovely. Thanks a lot. Bye. Mum saw the advertisement in the back of the Nottingham Evening Post. I remember it well. I was just practising my harp when...
Wanted, little fat kid for manufactured TV family. Johnny, get your suitcase packed.
But, Mum, I'm as skinny as a rake.
Just do as you're told. And when you've done that, you can eat this enormous cream cake.
But, Mum...
Don't you mum me. I'll mum you in a minute.
Sorry.
And what have I told you about playing that harp?
Most of my earliest memories are in black and white. They don't change to colour till I'm about 7. Looking back now, my childhood was just like a Peter Greenaway film. Made no sense whatsoever, but it was beautifully shot.
Johnny, what year is it?
It's 1970, Mum.
Right then. In that case, I'm off to the Isle of Wight Festival. Bye!
Bye.
Oh, Mum! You've forgotten your shirt!
It's okay, I won't be needing it. Johnny? What have I said will happen if you don't eat your greens?
You said that you and Dad will get divorced and it'll all be my fault, Mum.
Right, well, here we are, about to play football then. Bagsy me being George Best.
Bagsy me being Rodney Marsh.
Bagsy me being Frank Wignall.
Frank Wignall?
Of course, after the 71 Cup final, everyone was bagsying being Charlie George, and in playgrounds up and down the country, kids were scoring goals, then lying down on the ground, arms outstretched, waiting for their teammates to pick them up, just like Charlie did. Did it once myself. Scored a screaming goal from the edge of the box, lay down, arms outstretched, waited. Yeah, 3 bloody hours I waited. Eventually I got up and saw that everyone else had gone home. I still like to think it was some kind of elaborate practical joke. I'd already been christened Little Johnny by my classmates on account of the fact that I was little. Kids are nothing if not literal when it comes to nicknames. Any kid with red hair was automatically known as Red Hairy. Any tall kid was known as Tally, whilst any kid who was clever and who wore glasses was known as Trevor Jenkins.
All right, Johnny.
Glass bully, is that really you?
Of course it is, you puff. Crash the rocks.
Oh, I should explain. Crash the rocks was a quaint colloquialism meaning I have reason to believe you're in possession of some sweets and I'd be most obliged if you'd give me one.
I'm not bloody giving you one, you big puff. Who do you think I am, the bass player from the suite? Hey, you lot. Little A wants me to give him one.
See what I mean?
Who are you talking to?
Nobody.
Who are you talking to?
Well, if you must know, I'm having a flashback.
Ooh, having a flashback, are we?
And cue witty riposte.
Poof.
Well, much as I'd like to stay and catch up on old times...
Hey, what do you mean old times? Come back, you puff. Saw your mum on telly again. Nice tits.
Schools Out by Alice Cooper, the first choice of my castaway this week, Little Johnny Cartilage. So, Johnny, it's 1972 and your mother reads the advertisement and sees this as the ideal opportunity to get rid of you once and for all to concentrate on her own show business career.
That's right, Sue.
So what happened?
Well, Mum put me on a crash diet of cream cakes and lard and in no time at all was wheeling me down to Norwich, which is where the auditions were being held.
Oh, this must be the place. I thought we'd never get here.
Mum, is Nebworth really on the way from Nottingham to Norwich?
Look, I've already told you. Mick and the boys were depending on me. Now shut up and eat this cream cake.
Okay. Could all the pushy mothers kindly make their way to the rear of the hall now, please? And all the fat kids form an orderly queue. Thank you. Okay, lovely. Now, I'm going to hand you over to the producer of the show, Mr. Anglia himself, live from Norwich, Chris Mendoza!
Right. You all know what you're here for?
Fame.
Right. And you all know how long you want to live?
We want to live forever.
You want fame? You've got to work for it. Nothing comes easy in this life. You get out of it what you put in. There's no such thing as a free lunch. Time and tide wait for no man. People in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. There's nuts a queer as folk. Red sky at night, shepherd's delight. Takes one to know one. No, I'm sorry, I've lost it completely. Any questions? Yes, you, madam, the one without your shirt on.
What's the dosh?
£18 a week, and that was a lot of money in those days.
No more questions? Right. Can we have the first fat kid, please?
What are you going to do for a sunny?
Play this harp.
Go on, then.
So you became part of the explosion of blatantly manufactured TV so-called families, which were so inexplicably popular at the time.
That's right, Sue. The Monkeys, the Brady Bunch, the Double Deckers, the Banana Splits, the Osmonds, the Partridge Family, the Wooden Tops, the Tremolos. There were even football-style transfers from one to another. Donny Osmond went to the Banana Splits for an estimated £100,000. David Cassidy joined the Double Deckers on a month's loan. Every major TV network wanted to get in on the act, and Anglia Television were no exception, hence the Cartledge family. Tuesdays, just after Crossroads, Anglia only. We were the jewel in their crown, their pièce de résistance, their flagship. No mean feat when you consider they also did Sale of the Century.
No mean feat indeed, but then it's fair to say the flagship sprang a leak, did it not?
Well, that's putting it politely, Sue.
OK, how about the flagship ran aground and began taking on water at an alarming rate?
Still quite polite.
Well, what about... face facts, Baldy, you're a loser. Sordid sex scandals, drug-crazed orgies, week-long alcoholic binges, amphetamine-crazed shoplifting sprees, never out of the tabloids, ostracised by family and friends, shunned by Oliver Reed. And that was just your mother.
Dear old mum.
You still live somewhat unfeasibly with the other members of the Cartledge family in the same house you've occupied since the series' demise almost a quarter of a century ago.
Well, it depends what you mean by unfeasible, Sue.
And just suppose that I didn't live in the Anglia region, that I wasn't glued to my television set every Tuesday after Crossroads. Who were, indeed, who are the Cartledge family?
Well, Sue, Ray's the oldest and also the bitterest. He's 44, and although you wouldn't think it to look at him now, he was very much the pretty boy heartthrob of the family in a Cassidy-esque kind of a way.
Butch?
Not particularly. Then there's Goody Goody Faye, rumoured to be the original inspiration for Linda McCartney taking up the tambourine.
Mm.
Next up is Ricky, cheeky, chappy, funny Ricky, now a 35-year-old manic depressive who makes Morrissey look like Timmy Mallett.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's Brains, who used to look like the frumpy, brainy one in Scooby-Doo and still does, funnily enough.
Yes.
Oh, and not forgetting Mungo, the lovable Cartledge family dog, except that this is at least the eighth Mungo.
Yeah.
Most of them don't last more than a couple of years, you know.
I see.
Four across, two words, five and seven. Obscure Nottingham Forest footballer with black hair from the mid to late 60s.
Frank Wignall.
Thanks. Morning, Ray. Lovely morning, isn't it? Have a good night. Did you sleep well? Tea or coffee? How would you like your eggs?
What is this? Multiple choice?
Always did have your very own brand of zany humour. Come on, what'll it be?
It'll be a mug of tea and a fag, same as always.
Oh, Ray, do you really have to smoke at the breakfast table?
Yes.
You should really have a hearty breakfast followed by a bracing stroll, you know.
Bloody hell, it's like living with one of the famous five here sometimes.
And you can shut up and all.
Oh, dear, now. Come to Vasey Wasey for big cuddles.
Oh, all right, then. But I tell you, either the dog goes or I do.
Is that a threat?
Yeah.
On your bike, Fido. Right. Now, has anyone seen little Johnny this morning?
He's still living in his own fantasy world.
Well, in that case, I'll just pop his breakfast under the grill and he can have it when he gets back.
Hello, little Johnny Cartledge.
Hello. I'm a typical style magazine reading trendy something, eager to jump aboard the latest bandwagon, ringing to tell you that the 1970s have officially become hip again, after being derided for the past 15 years, and that students up and down the country are currently dusting down their parents' platform soles and wearing T-shirts emblazoned with this week's obscure 70s TV icon, suddenly enjoying a new lease of life in a postmodern kitsch kind of way, whatever that means.
Go on.
Well, what this means is that TV producers are currently falling over themselves to show reruns of increasingly obscure early 70s regional fictional family-based programs that no one watched in the first place, and it's surely only a matter of time before one comes knocking at your door.
I'll have to go now. There's someone at the door. Thanks for calling. Bye.
Pizza, Chief. That'll be £4.50, please.
Right. There you go. Keep the change.
Thanks a lot. All the best, Chief.
You must admit, that would have been just a bit too much of a coincidence. I wonder.
Sorry, Chief, I forgot to give you the garlic bread.
Oh. I hate it when that happens.
So it's official, the 70s are hip once again.
So it would seem, Sue. All of a sudden, people are claiming they always did like ABBA when you know perfectly well they were too busy listening to King Crimson and Jethro Tull at the time.
We're talking about a time when purple crushed velvet loon pants were considered the height of fashion.
Absolutely. We're talking about a time when Jason King was sex on a stick and when footballers owned boutiques on the King's Road.
Yes.
A time when it was still considered witty and amusing to be able to recite the Parrot sketch word for word. And a time when drum solos lasted so long, the rest of the band would nip out for a curry.
Mm.
Above all, we're talking about a time when there was none of this techno nonsense. No spotty Herbert stood behind one of these newfangled synthesizers with some screechy woman endlessly repeating the same damn thing over and over again.
Mm.
At least with Slade you could hear the words and there was a decent tune. I remember the days...
Shall we have your last piece of music?
I'd like to sing a song called When You Could Hear the Words.
Little Johnny Cartledge, thank you very much.
Thank you, Sue.
I remember the days when people wore flares without the sense of irony. I remember way back when Michael Jackson was black and he and his brother sang ABC. You and me. And no nostalgia ain't what it used to be.
Used to be, used to be.
I know I'm turning into my dad.
Do my dad too bad.
I never, ever, ever thought I'd say the things were better back in the olden days when you could hear the words.
Ooh-wee, chirpy, chirpy, cheep, cheep.
There was a proper tune.
Ooh-wee, chirpy, chirpy, cheep, cheep.
When you could hear the words. Ah, those were the days, my friends. We thought they'd never end. When there were proper songs with proper tunes and proper words. Words you could relate to, like Metal Guru, Is It You? Ha ha, I really love my Kookachoo.
My Booze Hell by Little Johnny Cartledge was written by and starred Johnny Mears, with Ben Miller, Peter Serafinowicz, Jeff McGiven, Rosemary Martin, and Deborah Berlin, and with a special appearance by Sue Lawley. Musical arrangements were by Spencer Cousins, and the producer was Gareth Edwards.
My gang, Shang-a-lang. Girl, I'm just a cheapster for your love. Does anyone know the way? There's got to be a way. Does anyone know?